married two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective, oh. And did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabba-dooey.
Let's go. Hello. Well,
hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie. We are sitting here on the love seat, and we're so happy that you've joined us today. Aren't you, Mike?
I'm always
ecstatic.
Always happy about that.
Yes, indeed. And we also have a very special guest virtually joining us on the love seat. Isn't that right?
And is he virtually special?
No, he's really special. Actually, he is really special to the show and to us personally because he is someone who has actually helped us with our website in the past and who is a, well, not yet this close to moving to New Hampshire, right, for the Free State Project.
Is that right, mystery guest, who we haven't announced yet?
Yes, that's correct.
Yay!
Yay! Cool. So why don't you introduce yourself, mystery guest, a special mystery guest.
Yeah, my name is Marcus, and I live in New Jersey.
Ooh.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. But we are glad to have you on the show. And Marcus approached me a little while ago and said that he had a question that he thought might be something useful and good to discuss on Pork Therapy. And of course, if you haven't heard us before, if this is the first time you're listening, I'm not going to say tuning in because we're a podcast and
no one
that's
tunes.
A ridiculous, anachronistic description, but anyway, if you're listening to us for the first time, we are a show that talks about relationships from a liberty-oriented perspective, and we like to help people give our opinion about how to get along with your neighbors and friends and coworkers and everyone else in a voluntary society, and we think that personal relationships, building them and having healthy ones are one of the keys to attaining liberty in our lifetime.
And if you have your own question or dilemma, or you want some advice, some opinions, you can, I don't give advice, or I try not to, because it just makes me feel like I'm condescending. But you can email us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com, or call us and record your question, and we'll use it on the air. On the air, another anachronism.
Exactly.
And you can call us at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
That's right. So, Marcus, what's been on your mind? Why don't you tell us what you're thinking about discussing today?
Sure. Well, I wanted to talk to you guys because basically there's two new guys at my job that sit by me, and they have a bit of a negative attitude, and they're complaining. So to give you a little backstory, I've been at my work, at my job, for over a year and a half, and everything has been great. I love my job. I love the people I work with. It's a small office, only about 10 people. Get along great with my boss. We have a good relationship. He always has an open door. Talk about anything, and everything is great. I sat close to two people in my office, and both were real nice guys, and everything was great until not too long ago. One of the guys moved away. He's still currently working for the company, just not in the office. And the other guy, he only comes into the office about once a week. And about at that same time, they all hired two new people. And these two new guys that came in, started. They're nice guys. They're not mean guys. They just like to complain about things a lot. What I found is, I don't like that because I try to keep a positive attitude, but, these are the two closest people to me in the office, and, they don't complain constantly.
You mean physically close, not psychologically?
Right, yeah. Physically close, in close proximity. And they're not complaining all the time, but, every day, at least, there's, a complaint about something usually completely mundane, sometimes not so mundane, but it's getting to me because it's changing my attitude. It's affecting me.
It's bringing you down.
And my predicament is really that, I feel that if I go and talk to my boss about it, which is something I have considered and I'm still considering, if I talk to my boss about it, I feel like, okay, well, now I'm bringing him into this. I don't want to seem like I'm the complainer, complaining about other people I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
If I confront them about it face to face, of course, there's the... issue that they could then, just make it even worse than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually, I go out to lunch with them every once in a while, and some of the things they complained about were actually work-related. They were actually, the funniest thing, they were complaining that, I can't believe that I basically don't get paid for my lunch. At my old job, I got an hour lunch that was paid, and now I have a half hour lunch and it's not paid. And I was like, well, you agreed to take the job, right? So what are you complaining about? Why would you accept a job knowing the parameters and then complain about it? Like, it's just, there's no reason for it other than to be a miserable person and to, want to hear yourself complain about something. So mm-hmm. it's very frustrating. Obviously, you can hear in my voice, I think, that it's frustrating to me that they would complain about these things as well as the most mundane things like, the soap smells or in the bathroom. Or
they really complain about the smell of the soap in the bathroom?
He definitely complained. One of them complained about the soap. Maybe it was the soap is it's too sticky or something, and it doesn't wash off. And where did they buy such cheap soap? And
wow.
The soap is fine.
Yeah, that's but, just
so. Yeah, so that my predicament is okay. What do I do? To make this situation better for myself, do I talk to my boss about it? Do I talk to them about it?
Well, you mentioned not wanting to talk to your boss because you said something to the effect of, then I'm bringing him in to solve it or something like that. And
well, go ahead, Mike. What were you saying?
It reminded me of government. You don't want to just bring in an authority figure, but a boss isn't really like that. A boss or a manager or whatever kind of is there to make the work environment function. So that's almost, or at least that's one of his purposes or her purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
However, I would still recommend trying to deal with it personally first, individually, face to face with the other people involved.
I would agree with that. And I think there are, I thought of, while you were speaking, Marcus, I thought of a couple of different approaches that I thought might be good. But Mike, what were you thinking? Did you have anything in mind that specific strategies
deal with them?
To talk to the people?
No, I haven't formed any specifics yet, but I one vague concept you could use is to let them know that positive approaches would be effective. So when they're complaining about the soap or whatever, whatever the case is, see, that's a word, that's a sillier
so
example
ridiculous.
Than my toilet paper over or under. But when they're complaining about the soap, maybe instead of saying, you guys, why are you complaining about something so mundane? You could say something like, yeah, I don't like that soap either. Maybe you could bring in a soap that you like tomorrow and I'll bring in next week and we'll see which one works better. Or, whatever positive or optimistic, I guess,
offer them a solution rather than just enabling them to keep complaining by saying, I hate that soap too, or whatever.
Right. And that way, perhaps after some examples, they will either see or you could point out that positive action helped, whereas their complaining did not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point. And to a degree, I have actually used that.
Good.
They've complained. One of the things they were complaining about was people smoking outside because their windows are right by where the people were smoking.
Yeah, there ought to be a law against that.
Oh boy!
Just kidding.
Is that what they said, Marcus?
What?
Is that what they said? Were they like wanting to have some kind of anti-smoking law or something?
No. They were complaining about the situation, and I said, well, you should go talk to
mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody about the person who. to somebody, you know. And what they ended up doing, actually, was very interesting. They, the one guy decided to write a note and just put it outside.
Oh, the old passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of going and talking to the smoker and saying, hey, you know, I realize, you know, you're coming outside to smoke, but, you know, instead of just taking a nice approach and, you know, dealing with it that way, he just left the note, and he was actually, then, of course, when that became an issue, he couldn't believe that it was an issue. Like, he felt like he had done what was right by leaving this note.
Wow.
And what I've learned about that individual particularly is that he does not like confrontation.
That's right. Quite obvious.
Right. As a matter of fact.
But he likes to complain.
I bet he didn't put his name on that note either.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, as a matter of fact, he was only at work a couple of weeks, and somebody called for him, and he told the girl who answered the phone, he said, tell that guy I don't work here anymore.
Oh boy. Wow.
Okay, so aside from them complaining and not being productive or whatever, at least one of them is a really poor communicator.
Yeah,
right?
One of them doesn't like confrontation, poor communicator, and, you know, I have done my best to try and give them solutions, you know, but at the same time, trying not to be too much of a jerk.
Do you have something?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I mean, well, okay, one thing is, you're probably already doing this, Marcus, but one thing is to lead by example, right? Oftentimes, that's one of the only things, the only tools that we have in our kit is to just live the way that, you know, we wish that others would be, and then maybe eventually they'll start to realize, like, hey, this is a good way to handle things. Maybe I should talk to people directly instead of leaving these notes, or maybe I should not focus on these negatives so much without trying to take action to somehow correct them or change them.
And if they don't happen to notice that you're doing that and it's working, then maybe you could, you know, live the way you'd like and then point it out. Like, say, well, you know, the last time I had a problem, what I did was bring in my own soap and it solved it.
Right. Yeah. Or something like that. Another thing I was thinking that, well, what do you think of that one first of all, Marcus?
Yeah, I think it's a good suggestion. I mean, in terms of the soap, I don't even feel like that. To some degree, it's not something I'm going to suggest that they do much on, other than because I just find it so completely ridiculous.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it's an example.
It's a fun example to use on the show, though.
Yeah.
And certainly suggesting that they bring in their own soap, that would just, you know, I'm sure would enrage them, like, oh, it's not my job.
The indignation.
Well, you know, that kind of leads into my other suggestion, Marcus, which is that these people are negative Nancys, right? For lack of a better word. Like, they're being babies.
As a matter of fact, both of their names are Nancy.
I was gonna ask, what's a male name that starts with an N that we could use?
Yeah.
But anyway, go on.
Nathan.
Negative Nathans.
Yeah. Both of these people sound like they're really negative, and they have maybe they're projecting their negativity from other areas of their life. Like, maybe they're unhappy in other areas, and they're sort of, like, taking out their frustrations at the job or whatever. And they know that they have a captive audience in you because you have to
stuck
sit next
them.
To them, right? Yeah. So I think one thing that you might be able to do is just, like, if they see that you are ignoring their complaining and you're not, like, I guess enabling them, for lack of a better word, like, if they start complaining and you, like, put on your headphones and don't listen to them, or if you kind of, like, stop going out to lunch with them, or you kind of just keep yourself above it, above the complaining, for lack of a better word, you know, they may stop complaining, at least around you. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that that's a good suggestion, and it's something I could focus more on. I mean, one of the first times we went out to lunch was when they were complaining about the lunch, and I was just, I was floored by it, and I, of course, reacted. I was like, I didn't go full bore, but I was, you know, definitely, like, not receptive to their complaining about it, and I mm-hmm. you know, in the nicest way I could, I was basically saying, well, you know, this is your job, took it, right?
Yeah.
and to some degree, I think I have noticed a little bit of them, you know, quieting down.
Mm-hmm.
But they are definitely still both complaining.
Yeah.
But that's probably a good suggestion.
Something that Stephanie said made me think of this, and I don't remember my train of thought that got me here, but if they don't like conflict, they they might be complaining because they're the majority at the moment. There's two of them and one of you, and mm-hmm. you know, if a conflict arises, they're both on the same side of complaining. So perhaps you could ask one of them if they wanted to trade desks so they'd be next to each other, or if they could sit elsewhere in the office so that they could separate each other, and then they wouldn't have their little majority.
I don't know if that... Well, I don't know if I agree with that, Mike, because then, you know, if you say to one of them, well, can you not sit near me? Like, well,
I didn't say that, but there might be a way to suggest that.
I don't know. It kind of seems like somebody's desk is like, if you don't want to sit near someone, like, you should be the one who moves. It kind of seems that way.
Oh, well, that's also an option, actually. Yeah. Although, why, if he loves his desk and he's been there for 7 years or whatever, why should he move?
Why should he move, right?
So I had another thing that's unrelated to that, and that is to use questions again. So when they mm-hmm. complain about something, maybe you could just reveal the inanity or a solution by asking them a question where the answer mm-hmm. is either there is only one answer and it's obvious, and or it's silly. So if they say, you know, if they're complaining about the soap.
Oh, I hate this soap. Yeah. It's so florally. I just wish it were more fruity.
Maybe you could ask them, you know, why they think that the office is putting such horrible soaps there. And then, maybe you could even turn it into a conspiracy theory as it's just a completely silly question and say, yeah, you know what? I've noticed there's more floral stuff around the office. Do you think they're doing that intentionally?
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Go ahead.
Actually, the guy who was complaining about the soap, it was interesting. One day I was talking to my boss. Him and I like to talk politics every once in a while in front of everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I was just talking about how the government is, you know, violence and all this.
Right.
And the guy who was complaining about the soap, he was like, after my boss walked away, he was all like, yeah, 9/11. You know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so he's all into, like, the whole 9/11 conspiracy stuff, mm-hmm. which I found very interesting.
Then maybe my tact wasn't such a good one to take. But using questions in another way, like, to ask them solutions then, like, yeah, you know, so you don't like the soap, what do you think should be done about it? And
right.
then just puts the ball in his court to, you know, his only answer mm-hmm. is some kind of solution, or it's a non sequitur insult. To get out of the right. topic, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion,
Mike. We have a peanut gallery listening, and they have a comment. Here he is.
I like that last suggestion of Mike's, but another thing is, since you've identified that they don't like confrontation, you can definitely not be a sympathetic ear by simply stating the opposite. Or not the exact opposite, but say again with the soap. If he said, man, that stuff's hard to rinse off your hands, blah, 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 then you could say, yeah, I love that. It's got lotion in it. It keeps my hands soft.
Right.
And you say, oh, I hate that, you know, blah, at the other place I used to get an hour lunch, and you could be like, I love that we only have a half hour lunch because then I get to go home a half hour
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
If you keep doing that...
They will find no purpose to complaining.
They're definitely going to stop complaining to you eventually because
yeah.
you're entirely unsympathetic and you're turning each one into a low-level confrontation that they're uncomfortable with.
Exactly.
And it's not like you're unsympathetic in a mean way. You're actually being very positive.
Right. And you're being honest.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, actually, Peanut, that was a great suggestion. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was just about to
mention Oh, sure, take his credit.
Well, no, I mean, it's...
Kidding.
It is a really good idea to yep. say, well, you know, I think the soap is good, or I like that soap, or I don't see what the big deal is. It's just soap,
or even if they're just making crap up, like it's really sticky soap. Then you can say, really, I've not experienced that. It works fine for me.
Yeah,
I like that approach, I think I will definitely do my best to stay on my toes and rebut as much as possible.
Cool. So okay, let's go over the tactics that we've thought of so far. One is kind of not associating with them as much as possible, like stopping talking to them as much, or putting in some headphones, or like not going to lunch with them, or whatever.
Number two was to distract them while juggling fire, and you could... No, wait, that was a different show.
Well, tactic number two was to ask them questions, right?
Yes.
And to ask them, you know, not listen to them, not enable them, not be the sympathetic ear, as you said, right? And then the third one was to contradict their complaint with something positive.
Yeah, I wouldn't say contradict necessarily, counter
yeah.
something, but yes, to a positive counter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment. I don't know so much about point one in terms of, like, not talking with them. I mean, mm-hmm.
It's not as good as the fire juggling, is it?
I would like to do my best to, you know, keep a rapport with them. I do mm-hmm. work with them and sit right by them. And so, you know,
Can I ask you a question, Marcus?
Sure.
Is it a situation where you're actually collaborating with them on projects, or are you just doing your own independent projects but sitting next to each other?
I collaborate with them a little bit.
Okay.
Not a whole lot, but a little bit. And so, you know, it is important. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's important just in general in the workplace because we had a great team atmosphere where everybody was on the same boat. You know, we all work on the same projects,
mm-hmm.
Even though we have different things that we're doing on them. You know, everything has to, you know, is connected in some way.
Yeah, that totally makes sense too. I could see why if you're interacting with someone at work, you would want to have a good relationship. That makes total sense.
Oh, go ahead, Marcus.
And I'm fine with, like, just because they're negative and complaining doesn't mean I can't have a nice conversation with them. And
sure.
I would like to continue that, you know, because, you know, I'm not going to hold things against them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because they were complaining 5 minutes ago doesn't mean I can't, to me, doesn't mean I can't talk to them now about something, you know, that hopefully they're not going to complain about.
Here's something else. If some of their complaints are valid, at least in your opinion, but you just don't like hearing the complaints, maybe you could also work to solve the issue, whatever it is, with or without their help. Actually, yeah, I guess probably without, because they don't seem very participatory at the moment. But let's say you solved the soap issue and the smoke coming in through the window issue because you heard them complaining about it, and you let them know the next day, you know what, I solved that by doing this, and just drop it at that. Eventually,
then they have nothing to say, really.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's the risk of them complaining to you more because you're the solver, but there's also the possibility that you could bring them along and make them realize, oh, we're solving things, we're not just complaining about them.
Mm-hmm. Setting an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Marcus?
Yeah. If I could solve one of their problems, I suppose that I guess I've been maybe a little reluctant about that just because...
Because you don't care what the soap is like.
also,
number one, I don't care about the soap. And number two,
right.
Like, something about work, like, I feel like, oh, I could solve your problem by doing what you should do, which is go talk to
exactly.
the boss about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my place to jump...
Right, and not only are some issues not going to be not your place, but some of them will be not your responsibility. It'll be someone else at the workplace who's supposed to be doing X or Y.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You're not the soap purchaser, you're the web designer.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, I mean, do you feel like this conversation has led to some different tactics and strategies to try? Mike, did you want to say something?
I was just laughing because you called him the web designer instead of a soap purchaser, but ironically, soap is a web protocol.
You're a geek. I mean that in the best possible sense, Mike.
So go on.
See, I didn't even know that.
I don't even know if it's used anymore. Is soap is even around anymore?
Well, I don't use it.
Okay.
Marcus doesn't use soap? Oh, what kind of a gross... What kind of a
no
sicko?
No wonder they're complaining.
I'm very natural. Just air. I clean with air.
But there's smoke in the air.
Yeah. Anyway, so so Marcus, do you feel like you at least now have a couple of more ideas about how to handle these people?
Yes, and I guess I have one other specific question,
sure.
And something that I feel like I know what I would do, but looking for your opinion.
Sure.
If my boss specifically asked me, how are things going out there with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, that's where I think it's the boss's responsibility. It's their duty. It's
mm-hmm.
it's one of their positions. One of their
in their job description.
Yeah, it's in their job description to resolve issues like this and make the workplace flow smoothly. And so, especially if he's doing his job and asking you, you say, "Hey, everything's great. This is going well. You know, it's hard to hear the complaints of these guys so often, but they do good work here, here, and here, and blah blah blah."
Well, but what is the boss going to do about that? And well, isn't that kind of like not handling the problem yourself? Isn't that kind of...
I disagree on both of those. I don't know what the boss will do. Maybe the boss will do some of the things we suggested to during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the boss's responsibility to at least address it, right? Act as an arbitrator, act as a mediator. Maybe the boss will suggest, you know what? I think it's time everyone in the office switch desks. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, but that might help.
Yeah.
And he's not going to the boss. He's not running complaining. The boss says, is there a problem?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm kind of curious about something, Marcus, which may kind of determine the answer to this question. And do these two guys complain about the same things to the boss, or do they only complain to you?
No, they kind of complain to the air. anybody that is just in the vicinity might catch it. Actually, recently, the other day... One of the guys was complaining very loudly about something while my boss was out there talking to me. He was complaining so loudly that he basically interrupted my boss from talking to me. My boss is aware, at least to a small extent, that there is some complaining.
Uh-huh.
Well, what would you do, Stephanie, if the boss came to you and said, are there any problems in the workplace?
I don't think I would say anything about them complaining. I would probably... tell the people who are complaining, like, oh, you know, maybe that's a legitimate concern. You should bring that up with the boss, you know?
Well, I think that's appropriate, too, but I don't understand why it's not good for the person who's responsible for making the workplace work to know, especially when they're seeking this information. In fact, you could even say to the boss, you know, there's an issue I have, and you could either be vague, there's an issue that I have, but I'm working on it, and I'll get your help if I need it. Or you could be more specific. You know, I have a complaint. I don't have a complaint. I have a problem with these two guys complaining all the time, but we do good work together, so I'm going to work with them personally to fix it before you should get involved.
Then why even say it at all? I don't know. No. It just seems like... I don't know. I don't like the idea of talking to the boss about it, because then you're kind of, like, complaining about the complainers, you know?
I disagree.
I'm not
saying it's not true, but you have two different opinions.
Marcus.
What's your opinion on that
one? My reaction was to not say anything, but now as time goes on, I feel like if he asked me, I really want to say something because it's honestly how, you know, I feel. You know, I'm my entire demeanor is like changing now because of this.
Hmm. Being surrounded by the complaints.
Yeah. Well, okay, I think it's a reconciliation between what Mike and I are saying. I think maybe if you do decide to mention this issue to your boss, like, have something in mind that he could do to help the situation.
He could get new soap.
I don't think that would strike the root very well. But, I mean, if you went to your boss and said, hey, you know, like, I work pretty well with these guys, but there's kind of... you know, there's kind of this issue where they keep complaining and it's kind of dragging me down a little bit. Maybe, maybe you could not put us on this project together, or maybe, you know, you could switch our desks around or something like that. I think maybe it would be better if you had a solution in mind or something that you wanted your boss to do instead of just giving him, okay, this is what's going on. What do you think, Mike?
I think that's a fine idea. I don't have a problem with it, but I just don't see how what your boss should do is your responsibility.
If your
job is to make web pages, and your boss's job is to give you a computer and give you a comfortable desk and ergonomics and make sure it's not too noisy, then let him do that.
Yeah, but okay. In this case, the boss is asking Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Marcus, how are things going? Are you having any problems or issues? Like, I think in that case, he's looking for feedback, right? And part of that feedback is like, how do you think this problem could be addressed?
Yeah, like I said, I do not have a problem with you making those suggestions. Like, well, boss, I'm having this problem, and if you did this, it would really help me and probably help them.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a problem with that. If you can't think of something, if you don't know what your boss should do, if you can think of something but you're embarrassed to tell him, well, that's fine with me because it's your boss's responsibility to do the thing. And I don't suggest that talking to your boss, if he asks you, is... an excuse for you to stop dealing with it individually and deal with those people personally.
Yeah.
Right? Your own problems personally. I think that's the first step.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. I mean,
I think we're both right.
Being honest with the boss about what's going on is probably does sound like a good idea, especially if you have a good relationship with him anyway, right?
Well, yeah. I've only been honest with him up until this point.
Sure.
So, you know, I feel like for me to now hide a problem is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a problem.
Especially if it's affecting your work, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I don't necessarily have a solution to tell him when I, you know, if I bring it up, I don't, you know.
Well, if you think of something, great. If not...
If things get really out of hand, since one of the guys likes leaving anonymous notes, you can leave an anonymous note that says no whining on his desk. Also, you can go to a novelty shop, and they have these fake grenades that says complaint department.
Yeah.
Take a number, and you can just point to it.
I actually like the note idea, because you can kill two birds with one stone with that one. You can.
Oh, that's so passive aggressive.
It's totally passive aggressive.
To their level.
If you ever wanted to stoop to that level, I just think it would be funny to leave a note on his desk that says, "People don't like to hear, you know, complaining all the time." And then parenthesis or P.S. These anonymous notes aren't very friendly, are they?
No, I don't endorse that idea. No way. There's no way you should do that. Don't listen to him.
I'm outside smoking, and I can hear you whining, bothering me.
You're really interrupting my cigarette break. Can you cut it out?
That's funny. Well, did you get anything out of this show, this conversation?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, that's good.
Thanks for calling us.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I think we should get the anonymous complaint department on our website. Take a number.
We should put that up there, huh?
No.
Well, they wouldn't email us. They'd just immediately be deleted.
Yeah. Marcus, you know, we would definitely appreciate a follow-up if you have a chance to think about this more, maybe listen to the show again or whatever.
If the situation changes.
Yeah, if the situation changes, if you're able to implement some of these techniques and it succeeds, like, let us know. I want to know feedback on how this went for you. So.
You know. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Party on, Garth.
Yeah, party on, Wayne.
So thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Pork Therapy.
Indeed. And we can be heard on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM and on various radio stations around the country. And also, you can go to our website at porktherapy.com. That's
P-O-R-C.
Yes.
Therapy.com.
Indeed. And you can, if you want to ask us a question or be on Skype with us or give us a call, there are many ways to do that at our website, porktherapy.com. Or you can email us, right, Mike?
That's right, at questions@porktherapy.com. Or you can call us
at 419-PT-LOVE-4 and leave us a voicemail. And is that all we have to say?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for the call, Marcus.
Thank you so much, Marcus.
And thank you, Peanut Gallery,
for talking with us.
Thanks.
And until next time, everybody, have some happy, healthy, friendly relationships with your coworkers, and
enjoy that sticky soap.
What a great way to end off the show. We'll see you next time.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.